It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WOR, the voice of New York, and on the powerful iHeartRadio Network. Hello. Yes, the Nielsen ratings have us once again in the top 10 in New York AM radio. How special is that? Nielsen, of course, the global measurement and data analytics company, and to come in top 10 is a big deal. And it's a testament, of course, special thank you to all you, the great listeners of this program. But week in and week out, we have incredible guests, Fortune 500 executives, CEOs, leaders in a variety of industries. And tonight's guest, I just have to, you know, even though we still have a little bit more of the intro, we just got to share it because this individual has spanned many different industries. And therefore, we reached out to him on the concept of advancing your cause. The concept tonight, advancing your cause, whether you're a nonprofit, a business, whatever you're leading, you have to know how to advance your cause in many different marketplaces and scenarios. And that's why my guest is none other than Maury Litwack, the managing director at the Orthodox Union and founder of Teach Coalition. But a little bit, just a couple of thank yous before I get back to my guest. Special thank you to the great team here at BLMG, Bottom Line Marketing Group. A show like this doesn't happen by itself. Special, where's the list here of people that are involved? Oh, we got a whole list here. All right. Michal, Bracha, Michael, Srilli, Miriam, Nachi, Malki, Moshe Chaim, Leah. Yeah, they're all involved. And, of course, special shout-out to Peter and Robert and Darren out at 710 WR. Special shout-out to Zeb Brenner, exchanging the favor, as it's called, because he precedes me here on 710 WR. Of course, you can pick us up on many different channels. Our popular Spotify, YouTube, the Jewish Home article that appears, Nucky Radio, and of course, our popular Business Class channel. There's a lot to talk about, but we got to get to our guest. Maury Litwack, the managing director at the Orthodox Union, founder of Teach Coalition. Tonight's topic, advancing your cause, how to champion your cause, how to fuel your cause, and how to raise capital for your cause. Maury, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Yitzhak, what a treat. And this is not my first time here. This is my second time
That's
here.
That's right.
So I'm a recurring guest. I'm expecting like a gift basket and VIP treatment. I was looking for the green room. I couldn't find it for a recurring guest. I'm assuming it's somewhere here.
Let's get down to brass tacks, Maury. That's your style. At some point, we even have to talk about how you raise $40 million a year for the various different causes that you champion. But first, let's take a step back. Talk about your history. You started off, you know, today everyone dreams like, okay, I'm going to be a CEO by 25. Wait a second. And by the way, a special shout out to Mishpacha Magazine. You write a great column in there. And your new, hey, Mazel Tov on your new podcast with Binyamin Rose. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Yes, Binyamin, a good friend. Question. Here's the question. Talk about the upbringing and how important are the learning lessons that you take when you first start up? You crawl, walk, run. How important is that to where you got today?
My career started the way you imagine anybody who's been successful at anything in life starts, which is I was fired from my very first job. I was fired from my very second job. I tried to go to law school. I didn't get into law school. I didn't get into my first choice, second choice, or third choice into law school. And the reason why I start like that is because so many times people say, well, you uniquely had something, or your environment was unique that allowed you to do the things that you've been able to do. And I've been obviously blessed that to be able to be in an environment, a nonprofit environment, an environment where I'm able to help people and do that. But the secret to my success is learning from failure, learning from problems and challenges, and picking ourselves up from them. And I think for the listener who's listening to this, I remember listening to shows like that when that was happening to me, and trying to be inspired and trying to find that spark. So it's a big public service what this radio program is doing for people. But my story starts with trying to figure it out, graduating from college, trying to see what could I do and how could I help people. And I ended up working on Capitol Hill. I was near DC. I graduated from University of Maryland. I ended up working on Capitol Hill because why not? Seemed like something I could do. Why not get into politics, learn a little bit. It was a job that paid me a whopping $22,000 a year. and I figured, wow, that seems like money seems like a start. And I got in there not realizing that the luxuries of life, like macaroni with cheese, the cheese cost more money than macaroni, so I could just afford the macaroni. So I was learning these things as I went along in life. And as I was going, working in Congress, working on Capitol Hill, I thought to myself, you know, eventually I'm going to leave this. I'm going to go be a high paid lobbyist, go out and make a lot of money. At the time, I think lobbyists were making $500 an hour, $1,000 an hour. And I had that aspiration and that dream. But I left Capitol Hill and I started working in nonprofit life. First, I was still driven to sort of figure out if maybe I was meant to still work in politics. I worked for Miami-Dade County, which I'm happy to talk a little bit about, as their DC lobbyist, helping them with Port of Miami, Miami International, all kinds of things that people are familiar with when they visit South Florida. And then I got a call one day from the OU asking if I'd be interested in helping them with their nonprofit advocacy work. So I got in there, started working, and after a little bit of there, I said to myself, I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if I want to make, I don't know if I'm continuing this. Maybe go back, make some money, go back in the for-profit life. Don't know. And in my community, there was a situation in the community where the kids didn't have busing. And because the kids didn't have busing, someone came to me and said, why don't you marry your passion for helping the community with your nonprofit service, the cause, a cause? Because people always heard me talk about the fact that non-public school kids are not receiving equitable aid, not receiving services, not being helped out. I was passionate about this because I remember as a child, my parents and their friends worried about the cost of non-public school life and tuition. And so I said, okay, maybe we can make a difference. And in year one, we started making a difference, not just there, but other places. And we started an organization. We started a national organization, but it began with something that you were very involved in, which was an organization called Teach NYS. Right. And Teach NYS has started way before we were around. And it was started by a group from Brooklyn. And we were able to merge our efforts with Teach NYS and start a larger organization called the Teach Coalition that now operates in 7 states, has over 60 employees, advocates for over $500 million a year in funding, changes lives, transforms lives. And because of that incredible work, I was offered a larger position within the OU as Managing Director of Public Affairs, which gives me oversight of the development work, which is all the fundraising work for the OU, the marketing communications work, including our award-winning magazine, and then obviously all the advocacy work that we do in the state and local capital. So it was an incredible opportunity, but it started with failure. It continued with some disappointment, and it ended with me picking myself up, picking up a cause, striving, trying, and ultimately having that incredible feeling of advocating for your cause.
Maury, anyone that interacts with you, anyone that listens to the podcast or even reads your material, Mishpacha Magazine and elsewhere, the passion comes through. I'm just going to ask a straight up question. How and you interact with thousands of people on a monthly basis. How critical is it for someone to be passionate and to be involved with something that they really believe in, as opposed to just, I'll just take a job?
Well, there are two important pieces to passion. Number one is just a little story I'll tell you, which is when Benjamin Franklin was in France and he was representing America to try to convince the French to join onto the American cause. He heard that Voltaire, the great French philosopher, may be interested in meeting with him. But he was warned by people that Voltaire had a lot of shaking, a lot of energy, a lot of nervousness. And they told Benjamin Franklin, they said, either he's in such an enlightened state of mind, he thought, Voltaire, he's such an enlightened state of mind that, you know, you got to be careful around him. He was so enlightened. Or because he was drinking over 20 cups of coffee a day, that might be the shaking. They didn't know. So I think passion, you need a little coffee, And then you also need a to know your why. Like Simon Sinek taught, says, to know your to really have that. I always use the example of a lottery ticket, which is if you had a lottery ticket and it paid you that Powerball $500 million, would you still do what you're doing now? And if the answer is no, you can't manufacture that passion.
It's amazing. I love it. Love it. So special. Wow, we have a lot to cover. We're going to go to commercial break. We're speaking with Maury Litwack, Managing Director at the Orthodox Union and founder of Teach Coalition. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Paraflight, luxurious and private, our network of jets and helicopters provide stress-free corporate flights for discerning business owners and executives. Experience the Paraflight difference as we fly you from anywhere to anywhere, anytime. Call 844-538-1911. Jet and helicopter charters, 24/6 dispatch center, domestic and international, urgent flights, concierge service, ground transportation, gourmet kosher catering. Paraflight, we focus on your flights, you focus on your business. Call Sim Shane and the Paraflight team, toll free at 844-538-1911. Paraflight, 844-538-1911. Experience the Paraflight difference, 844-538-1911.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
And we're back. Mind your business with Yitzhak Tzaphtas right here on 710 WOR, the voice of New York. And on the powerful IR Radio Network. And a special shout out to all those watching on YouTube. By the way, feel free to put your comments in there. Maury says it like it is. You feel otherwise? Put it in there. Maury may respond to you. He's going to speak his mind. But if you have a comment, of course, put it right in. Tonight's show is all about advancing your cause. Now, Maury is sitting perched in a high place, but he wasn't afraid and he wasn't ashamed to say, you know, it came from humble beginnings and it came from a couple of failures. And by the way, anyone that's listened to the show many times, some of the greatest people that we've had all are comfortable talking about failure, and then the big success. So when people say, well, oh yeah, it's everything's gonna be successful by 25, all right, get ready for life. You know what I mean? There are some hills to climb to get to that pinnacle of success. Tonight's topic, advancing your cause. Maury, talk about, first teach, because of course the Orthodox Union was smart enough to realize what you brought to the table regarding Teach, and then they took you on, and you're carrying multiple roles right now. But first, let's talk about Teach. You mentioned the first segment about a community. They needed busing for non-public school children. And then, let's say, take it from there. Where did you, have that epiphany to come and join and then lift and say, you know what, I could get things done?
I think it's people not believing in it, people not believing in me. If I'm really being honest about it, I think what really drove me about it was, I think there's two sort of ideas, which is, one is someone tried and failed. Someone tried and failed. And the other idea is, well, someone tried, and if they hadn't been successful, if someone's been there before, okay, and they walked along a path, and because they've walked along that path for so long, surely they would have had success. And so those two ideas, I would say, one is mediocrity, mm-hmm. which is basically that there's a mediocrity that exists out there, and the other is that there's others out there who are smarter than you, better than you, who've done this, and if they couldn't do it, how could you do it? And I think those two things were a real driver for me, because on the first item, the idea that there's others out there smarter than me, better than me, who've done this before, et cetera, and they failed. They were a better resource. They were more intelligent than I was. They were better connected than I. And if they didn't do it, how could I do it? It's such a driver for people, and it should be a driver for any listener, because most of that's nonsense. Most of that's nonsense, because what you bring to the table is very different than what people brought to the table previously. And this other idea, this apathy idea, this idea that's sort of like, well, it's been there, it's been a problem, it's people have tried, there's other things, and that also should be a driver for you. Because in one of the things that motivates me is when you read history and you learn about people's successes. And so one of the things I've been talking a lot about is I read all about the Wright brothers. And it was so motivating to read about the Wright brothers, because here you have the Wright brothers who have, I think at the time, they spent $1,000 all in, okay? Meanwhile, the Smithsonian was investing, and the government was investing in a project of the Smithsonian where they spent 5, 6, 10 times that amount of money on an actual airplane. And the Wright brothers are told by people, you're never going to be successful. You guys are just some bicycle repairmen in Ohio. And meanwhile, the Smithsonian, they're out there. They're hustling. They're working. A huge team. The Wright brothers doing their spare time. Who's smarter? Who's more educated? The Smithsonian team was more educated than these guys. Better financed. More of a team. But the Wright brothers were first in flight. What's the difference between those two? I think the difference is the passion. And I think the difference is also them ignoring the noise. Ignoring the noise, ignoring that apathy, ignoring all those things, and going forward.
Michal, I'm sure you're going to get some great business class clips out of this one. And for those that are not familiar, I don't know who isn't, but we reach over 25,000 people a day. The most popular platform is Instagram. On Instagram, business class clips. Wow. Wow. Was that impactful. Maury, advancing your cause. Now let's get down to brass tacks. How does someone champion their cause? And in your case, if I could split the question into two, one in terms of fundraising, championing it with donors, and with there's a political world, elected officials. How does one go about that?
So they're somewhat interconnected in the following way, which is that both are about relationships. You need a relationship with an elected official to ask for their help, especially if you have a cause, if you have something that you're trying to advocate for, whether or not it's your local zoning in your city, or it's a state law, or it's a federal law, or it's something that's bothering you, you need a relationship with an elected official. Similarly, if you want to raise money, you need a relationship with a philanthropist, a donor, or something. And I think both of these are about having relationships where there is a give and take, trust built and like any other relationship that you're going to have in life. And I think when it comes to elected officials, it's very important for people to understand that the way I compare it, it's like a AAA ball game. And the reason why it's a AAA ball game is because I live in New Jersey, and in Rockland County, there's a team called the Boulders, which is a not even a AAA team. It is a baseball team that is, and I think it's a separate baseball league. When I went there with my kids, every single player after has waited, signed autographs, took pictures, everything. My kids were excited. I was excited. It was incredible. Similarly, when I go to my local city council, or I load my local state senator, a local assembly member, you have a very high odds that you can reach out to them. They may pick up the phone themselves when they call them. But do people do that? No. More often than not, they wait until someone's in the major leagues and they win a golden glove, or they're a congressman, or they're a senator, or they're a speaker, before they do those types of things. You know, Richard Nixon failed in his presidential election against Kennedy. He failed against Governor Jerry Brown in 1962. He quit politics, but he won re-election 6 years later. So from 1962 to 1968, anybody could have gotten a hold of Richard Nixon, who would be president. Similarly, Obama failed his first congressional race and then became president, and on, Clinton did, George W. did, and on. You have opportunities to develop those relationships with elected officials. You just have to do it in an early way. Obviously, when it comes to philanthropists, that's a different calculation you have to make, because philanthropists, you know, you're not going to be able to look at the average person on the street and say, well, that person's going to make $1 billion. This person's going to make $500,000. This person's going to make whatever it is that's going to contribute them. But what you can do is you can listen to what they're saying to you. And I think listening to what philanthropists are saying and understanding what they're talking about is extremely, extremely important. Now, one of my favorite stories about this is I believe it's Rockefeller. If it's Carnegie, people can beat me up. It's one of the two.
Okay.
I believe it's Rockefeller I'm going to go with Rockefeller. I believe it's Rockefeller that basically he was meeting with a university, which I think is Worcester University. And he was meeting with Worcester University and I know I can do this. Which one's Steele? Which one's Steele? It's like it's Carnegie or it's Rockefeller. It's Carnegie Steele.
Carnegie Steele.
Carnegie Steele. We're going with Carnegie. We're getting out of Rockefeller. We're going with Carnegie. So it's Carnegie, and Carnegie was meeting with Worcester University. And Worcester University, this is over 100 some years ago, Worcester University was meeting with him because their campus had just burnt down. And when Worcester University was meeting with Carnegie, Carnegie said to them, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in rebuilding your campus or anything else like that. And the head of the university said to Carnegie, sure, you make steel mills, which allow for you to construct things. I produce incredible college students, and they come out of my own steel mills, which are my campuses. And Carnegie heard him. And Carnegie said, well, I'll give you a matching pledge. And Carnegie helped fund that rebuilding of Worcester University. So when you hear that, That's listening. That's listening. That's relationship and understanding and how to do that. But both things, when you're fueling your cause, are all about, whether it's elected officials or philanthropists, are about building relationships and about connecting with them, whether it's starting in the minor leagues or understanding to listen when they get to the major leagues.
Maury, in a number of your columns in Mishpacha magazine, you talked about the humble beginnings and building those relationships when you're able to, like with someone in single A, double A, and that example, triple A, before they get to the majors. Perhaps you could even share a real live, whether it's Marco Rubio, a U.S. senator, or some of the other major players today, that you interacted with them when they were in single A ball.
So I'll tell you two things that are example of that. So my story, my Marco Rubio story, which I've told many times, which I'll just share again, is that when Marco was the speaker of the Florida House, he was running this impossible campaign. He was 20 points down in the campaign to be senator. And he was looking for friends. He was looking for people to meet. He was looking to go to communities. And when I called people in my community and asked them to meet with him, they had never heard of him, so most people didn't bother meeting with him. Only a few did. And when he became Senator Marco Rubio, all of a sudden, the door starts knocking. People want to come meet with him. You know how hard it is to meet with Senator Marco Rubio now? It's difficult. Yeah. But again, if you're involved in this business early and you're involved in this relationship early, things change. So, for example, I had an opportunity to meet early in my career, and I was working on a campaign, and I had to happen to meet a young lady who was just getting started in politics and was just starting out, and she ended up becoming the press secretary to President Trump, and now she's the governor of Arkansas, Sarah Huckabee.
Right.
And so again, this is an example of where I think when I met her, which I think is some 20 years ago, she wasn't in any of those elected official offices yet, but she was someone who was involved in politics, who people could meet. And I just think there's always anybody involved in politics long enough will tell you all these stories of I knew them when. But when I knew them when, they were more accessible than they are now. But those relationships are like any other relationships in life, where, you know, if you build relationships when people are just starting out, it's just very different than when you build relationships once they're already established.
My guest, Maury Litwack, the managing director at the Orthodox Union and founder of the Teach Coalition. And we're talking about advancing your cause, whether it's a nonprofit, whether it's a school, whether it's a business. Advance your nonprofit. There are secrets to it. Maury is sharing it. We'll be back after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
To be successful, you need to understand what you do best and do more of it.
One of the gifts I believe that we have as entrepreneurs is to be blue sky visionaries, come up with amazing ideas, yet you're only as good as your execution. I've always had coaches my entire life. Once I got into business, coaching for me was a natural must-have. What I found in the past was most coaching programs were more focused around me earning a certain amount of income or taking a certain amount of time off versus me building a business that has value far beyond me. As soon as I engaged the Covenant Group, I could distinctly see that difference.
Working with the Covenant Group, I've gotten away from being controlling about so many of the facets of our business. It has given the people that are in my organization freedom to be creative, freedom to actually develop better ways to do things. I need a coach to help evaluate those things I'm blind to. If you have a blind spot, you don't see it. Without the coach, the process in and of itself is powerful. But the coach makes it work for a guy like me, and I think, frankly, for most people.
One of the greatest benefits of working with the Covenant Group is helping to identify what is it I do best.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Powerful people, famous names, impactful content.
Leaders who are able to engage their teams more effectively, who are demonstrating a level of understanding and empathy. It doesn't mean we're not going to hold people accountable. We have to hold people accountable for results. And at the same time, there's a great quote, which is, I don't care what you know until I know that you care.
The clip you just heard is from the CEO of Dale Carnegie, Joe Hart. For more fantastic business advice, follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips.
Paraflight, luxurious and private, our network of jets and helicopters provide stress-free corporate flights for discerning business owners and executives. Experience the Paraflight difference as we fly you from anywhere to anywhere, anytime. Call 844-538-1911. Jet and Helicopter Charters, 24/6 Dispatch Center, domestic and international, urgent flights, concierge service, ground transportation, gourmet kosher catering. Paraflight, we focus on your flights, you focus on your business. Call Sim Shane and the Paraflight team, toll free at 844-538-1911. Paraflight, 844-538-1911. Experience the Paraflight difference, 844-538-1911.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Lisa Tzaflis right here on 710 WOR, the voice of New York. Special thank you to all the listeners and a special shout out to all those watching on YouTube. Yes, and feel free to leave the comments in the comment section. And if you don't follow us on YouTube yet, yeah, if you just click on subscribe and you turn on notifications, you will automatically be notified when this episode goes up. My guest is none other than Maury Litwack, Managing Director at the Orthodox Union and founder of the Teach Coalition. And tonight's topic is advancing your cause, whether you're a small business, a large organization. You have to find the ways to advance your cause in terms of raising capital, in terms of championing it, and many different sectors. And Maury is a specialist in, because, I mean, listen, between the OU and Teach and dealing with elected officials from all on all levels. That, and he's spoken, and he's, again, he's speaking about it in tonight's show, from congressmen, but congressmen and up, congressmen and down, councilmen, state assemblymen, status, and then some of them but go up and become executives in the White House. There's a story there. And Maury is sharing some of that. But now we're going to talk about fundraising, raising capital for your cause. Now, Maury, now, of course, you're doing it for incredible claw work, and that is at the OU and Teach. Perhaps you can, you could share some, I don't say war stories, but real life stories of raising capital, whether it's gifts in terms of fundraising or funds for some ventures that you've been involved with.
So I think there's two stories I want to share, which for the listener, I think are very important. I don't usually care for superhero stories because superhero stories are not really believable and they're often embellished. So I could sit here and tell you about my largest gift. I could sit here and tell you about one day I closed, you know, 100 gifts or other things like that. And the average listener is going to shrug their shoulders and say, well, that's impossible. I can't do that. So I'd rather tell you two stories, which I think really encapsulate the theme of the show and us all hustling and getting out there in life and business and in all of our pursuits. The first story is very simple. I went to meet a donor about a particular cause, and I asked the donor, well, first I obviously explained what we were talking about. I asked questions, which anybody in sales will tell you is very important to ask questions and to understand. And anybody who's, if you've read any of Yitzhak's books about messaging and marketing yourself and understanding it, and I suggest you go out and do that. Those are key things in communicating with people and getting your vision across. Then I went in and I asked for money. And the person said to me, no. Wasn't interested. Didn't care about what I was doing. But because I showed up, he was willing to give me a contribution. And I turned that contribution down. And the reason why I turned that contribution down was because of advice I'd received, numerous advice that I've received, which was, if the person isn't actually interested in giving to your cause and is doing so because he feels pressure, or because he feels the pressure of you've been pressuring him, or he feels the pressure of the situation, then that's not money that the person necessarily wants to give to your cause. And I advised the person that the amount of money he was offering me, there were three other causes I knew he was interested in that he could give instead of that. And to this day, that donor, that person is not only involved in my charity and other things that I am involved in, but a host of other things as well. And I tell that story because I think that story is, whether you're involved in fundraising or you're involved in sales, that story is about truth. And the story is about credibility. And the credibility we have and the passion we have when we're credible in our profession. The second story I'll share very briefly is one of the importance of peer-to-peer relationships when it comes to selling or fundraising. Right. Someone took me in to see a donor, and I met with the donor, and midway through my pitch, articulate others, the donor closed his eyes. Lean back.
For those watching on YouTube, they see the whole show here. He's doing.
And I'm, while the person is doing this, I'm engaging and I'm staying on board with my pitch, and I've got my materials and everything else.
And he's going to sleep on you.
Out. But the person who took me in the meeting said to me that this might happen. The person who took me in a meeting said, "Don't be fazed. Don't." Like, this is the way the person thinks about things and does it, engages. And I was a little phased. But because of peer-to-peer relationships, because of understanding who you're talking to and things like that, 30 seconds go by.
And you're still pounding.
40 seconds. I'm done. I'm quiet.
Oh, you're quiet. Okay. And the room is quiet.
Opens his eyes, offers me a gift. A substantial gift.
Wow.
The reason why is because, A, the person who brought me into the meeting, it's peer-to-peer relationship. B, I was properly prepped on how the donor thinks right. about things. Right. And C, I had done my work to go in there and actually make the request and the solicitation. A lot of lessons there for people. But I also like to tell a story for you, because when people go in to do those meetings, most of the time it's not going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. You know, it's Muhammad Ali's favorite. I'm Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson. We're going to get into the Carnegie Rockefeller again. It's everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. So it's the same thing. You got to be ready when you go into these meetings. But I like to tell these stories because I think they highlight the need to have integrity. The need to, there's integrity in both those meetings. There's integrity of understanding who you're talking to in both those meetings. The first person I made the pitch and presentation, his eyes were open, but his heart wasn't open into it. He didn't believe into it. The second person's eyes were closed, but his heart was open.
Maury, here's just an interesting question, because you span both worlds. How important is it for a nonprofit to run like a business?
It's extremely important for a nonprofit to run like a business, because you know, one of the great educators in fundraising is a guy named Gerald Panis,
yeah.
who many people read his books, very insightful, and he writes about the need for board members to give donations to their board, because it's similar to a stock market company or a publicly traded company looking at how much insider buying occurs. So if, for example, Jeff Bezos buys a lot of Amazon, you're like, well, what does he know that I don't know? Where's it going? And so if Elon Musk buys a lot of, like Elon Musk just announced last week, I'm not selling any more Tesla shares. I'm in it to win it for the next 2 years. That's a confidence boost for the investors.
Right.
So
right.
I like that analogy, because it also, I think, What Panis is saying is also very, very important from the perspective of running your nonprofit like a business, from the perspective of donors are investing their money. And as much as donors are investing that money with their heart, you owe them a balance sheet. You owe them the transparency, the accountability, like it's a business. And the more they do that, you know, one of the things I talk about so much is, imagine, let's use you as an example, Yusuf. Yusuf, did you give to charity over the last month?
Of course.
You did. Now, in the next 6 months, mm-hmm. how many reports do you think those nonprofits are going to give you?
I'm not sure if any.
If any, right. But imagine if they did, they might give you a report.
Okay.
Do you think the report's going to be in the next 6 months rosy and incredible and everything's going amazing?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. And if you were to hear from the nonprofit that things aren't going as well, and there's ways to improve it, and the way they're fixing it, and there's things that they didn't do, and there's failures, and there's opportunities, and things like that, etc.
I'd be very interested.
From one nonprofit that, yeah, and you would hear from the other nonprofit either nothing, or once a year you hear the rosiest picture you could possibly imagine. Which are you more likely to give to in year two?
Definitely the one that's transparent, keeps me updated. Of course, I want to hear about successes, obviously, but you know, talk to me about what's going on.
And talk to you also about failures. Talk to you about problems. Talk to you about issues. Talk to you about opportunities. You know why you do that? Because you're running a business, Yitzhak. And you know that that's part of business. And similarly for nonprofits, the ups and downs are part of what we do as well. So it's very important to run like a business, but it's very important to talk to donors with that level of accountability and transparency, including failures, including problems, including challenges.
Now, an interesting question, which I guess dovetails into marketing. And again, full disclosure, bottom line is honored to service Maury and certainly at the Teach Coalition and other projects. Question, how important, meaning when you're one-on-one with a donor, you could be very open and transparent, and you need to be, of course. When you're dealing with the masses, you certainly don't want to, you don't know how everyone's going to interpret it. And you have to be certainly a little bit more delicate in your communication. I'm not saying to lie, never to do that. But you have to definitely have more finesse because you're just reaching a very wide audience.
Yeah, I think there's a big, well, my advice is very different from talking to donors or major investors in your nonprofit versus the average person on the street who may just need education in terms of what you're doing and why they should care about it. So I think there is a differentiation between those two. Now, I do think there's ways still to be transparent, even with the average person on the street, to say this bill didn't go as well as we'd like it to, and here's what we want to do. And I always encourage nonprofits, if something is a public failure or something is a problem, don't hide an elephant. You know, let people know that the elephant exists. So if there are those issues, don't sort of, you know, paint over it. So I do think that that's important, but less so than your major donors, less so than your major investors and people who care about the work that you're doing.
We're speaking with Maury Litwack, Managing Director at the OU and founder of the Teach Coalition. We're going to be right back after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times in the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luc Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
Paraflight, luxurious and private, our network of jets and helicopters provide stress-free corporate flights for discerning business owners and executives. Experience the Paraflight difference as we fly you from anywhere to anywhere, anytime. Call 844-538-1911. Jet and Helicopter Charters, 24-6 Dispatch Center, domestic and international, urgent flights, concierge service, ground transportation, gourmet kosher catering. Paraflight, we focus on your flights, you focus on your business. Call Sim Shane and the Paraflight team, toll-free at 844-538-1911. Paraflight, 844-538-1911. Experience the Paraflight difference, 844-538-1911.
And we're back. Yitzhak Zaflis here in the Mind Your Business Show for the final segment of tonight's incredible episode, together with Maury Litwack, Managing Director at the OU and founder of Teach Coalition. Tonight's topic, advancing your cause. If you're tuned in late, no worries. By Tuesday morning, usually Michal has it up by Monday already, the podcast is up. The YouTube episode will be up in approximately 2 weeks. If you subscribe to our YouTube channel on YouTube, we're at 710 WOR, mind your business, obviously, you'll be automatically notified when it goes live. And there's going to be some incredible business class clips that were generated through this show on business class, on Instagram or at Business Class Clips. Yeah, Maury Litwack at tonight's topic, advancing your cause. Now, earlier in the show, you talked about, you know, building relationships is really the key, whether it's for fundraising, whether it's to advance your cause with politicians. Now, it's hard to believe that, I mean, with the accomplishments that Teach and the OU has accomplished over the years, that every single situation is rosy. You come into a room, yay, we're excited. You know, maybe you could talk about the part. Now, I'm not asking you to say any names. You know, you could share what you want to share and what you don't want to share. But you allowed me to be brutally honest and blunt. You said, ask me anything. So, you know, share with me, is it okay to ask? Were there sometimes when you went, like, from, you know, you had a meeting with a politician and he almost, like, wanted to throw you out of the office, and yet he went to bat, he or she went to bat for you, like you turned it around? Perhaps you could talk about, you know, the real stuff that happens that no one really wants to talk about.
I'm glad you asked that, because I think also, I guess we talk about superstar stories, we talk about rosy pictures and things like that. You know, look, it's politics. It's rough and tumble, and that's just part of the world. One of the things that I'll never forget is after a big budget fight, there was an elected official who called me up, and he called me complaining about something. And I, you know, you have two choices to make. Either you say, yes, I apologize, and et cetera. But this elected official was wrong. And this elected official wasn't helpful to what we were doing. So I got into it with him, and I gave as good as he gave to me. And I gave back, and he hung up the phone on me. And I was a little nervous about it, but someone said to me, look, this is in politics. There's at the end of the day, the elected officials who represent us, they are elected officials who represent us.
Right.
And at the end of the day, that elected official still had a constituency which cared about the work that we did. There's no dictatorships in American politics. There's elected officials elected. And after a few months or so, I got a little call. He was back. Back to talk to me, back to work with me, back to do it. But he was actually more helpful the second time around, and even more helpful the third time around. And one of the things that I've never shied away from since then is that if an elected official is someone who is a champion, is someone who is advocating for your business, for your cause, or anything, I believe that you should publicly and loudly thank them and speak out and help them. But if they are obstructionists, or they're claiming that they're helping you when they're not actually helping you, you need to equally call that out and say it is unacceptable and we don't agree with it. And the reason why I know that this works is because it's what labor does. It's what the police unions do. It's what the Chamber of Commerce does. It's what tons of groups do when they're unhappy about something. They voice their concern and issues. And I believe it was Reagan who said something along the lines of, you know, just because I'm not with you 100% of the time doesn't mean I'm not your friend. And so I in one of my Mishpacha columns I wrote recently about the fact that when you engage in these things, there are consequences. So, for example, we're filming this very shortly after Hanukkah, after all the holidays. And I mentioned in the Mishpacha column that there was a year where I was told, Maury, you're not getting invited to Governor Christie's Hanukkah party. Maury, you're not getting invited to Mayor de Blasio's Hanukkah party, or whatever holiday parties they had at the time. But my bills passed. The bills that I was advocating passed. The work that I had passed. And so at the end of the day, I think people, one of the things I talk about a lot is, you know, is your job mission-driven when you're dealing with these elected officials? Is your job for them to understand that you are representing a cause that needs passage of issues and things like that? Or is your job to go there and take a picture with them so you can put it on your wall somewhere and tell your grandchildren how you didn't pass legislation, how you didn't make a difference necessarily, but you got a picture with a famous politician.
Yippee. Right, yippee. It's all about results.
I think it's all about results. It's also about understanding that elected officials represent us. Elected officials represent us, and there are incredible elected officials out there who know that and understand it's a job to do. I represent you. It's my job, et cetera. And there's a minority that view that it's a privilege that you get to talk to me. It's how dare you call out, you know, us on your issues. And that's not what this is. This their job is to represent us and elect officials. Now you should do so respectfully. Right. You should do so in a way that doesn't burn bridges. But speaking out, there's two sides to it.
Maury, it is only around 5 minutes left. The time flies, especially after such a great guest. What is another tip that you could share about fueling your cause, especially for the nonprofits out there? What do they have to do? What's the mindset to fuel your cause?
Well, I think there's a couple things that I would recommend. First off, you'd be shocked to learn how many people are in the nonprofit space who don't donate to their own cause. Just shocked to learn how they don't donate to their own cause. And I think donating to your own cause forces you to bottle that passion a little bit, to say, hey, why did I donate to that cause or didn't donate to that cause? What's happening? And passion, if you have passion, like we talked about at the top of the hour, it's so powerful for fundraising. It's powerful for getting more people involved in your cause. It's powerful in so many different ways. And I'm reminded of Albert Einstein. And Albert Einstein traveled to Asia. And he traveled to Asia to not just give lessons and a world-class tour on physics, but he also came because he wanted to fundraise money for Hebrew University. But the problem was that he spoke German, and the local dialects were not German. And he said language gap was unbelievable, but he still raised money. Now, why did Albert Einstein raise money in Asia while speaking German for the Hebrew University in Israel? How is that possible? Because the passion came forward, because he had lived a life in Europe where he was denied tenure. He was denied professorships because he was Jewish. And his kids were denied things. And he bottled it up and he talked about it. And so whether he was speaking German or he was speaking as a physicist, pretending to be a fundraiser, the passion came through. And I just think you don't have to be an Einstein to have passion. You simply have to be you to have passion. But remember who you are and why you're involved in the work you're doing.
Wow, such incredible stuff.
How much more time do we have?
We have 3 more minutes.
Oh, I think we could talk about the Browns. We could talk about this. There's all kinds of things we could talk about.
You really want to talk about
I have a whole business philosophy around the Browns. I have a whole thing that.
Now, one second. That I got to hear. I'm sorry. Now the floor is yours. I want to hear the business philosophy about the Cleveland Browns. And you know what? Everyone in the audience wants. This is probably going to be the most popular part of it. Q, please explain to us the business philosophy of the Cleveland Browns.
Well, I had this crazy thing happen to me where whenever I met people who are very impactful in life and very driven in life, I so often found out that they also were a Cleveland Browns fan. And it was a strange thing for me to note because for the listeners who are hiding under a rock, the Cleveland Browns have been the worst football franchise by a mile. They've never been to the Super Bowl, okay? They haven't been to the Super Bowl. They haven't won their division in, I think, like 40 years. They are pathetic. They are bad. They are horrible at what it is. So why is it that I'm meeting all these people and even, like, I'm going to put myself in the category of a driven person. How is that possible? And so I realized that Cleveland Browns offer incredible lessons. First and foremost, when your season is over, by not week 17, but by week 6 or 7, it gives you a lot of time to pursue other interests in life. When you're not winning Super Bowls and you're out of the playoffs by week 7, there's so much time you have on your hands. Number one. Number two, you're able to look at what they're doing, and you're able to say, if I just do the opposite of this, surely I'll be successful. So, for example, you can't have 25 quarterbacks or 25 CEOs in your organization or 25, you know, head managers over a 2-year period of time. You know, you can't keep changing philosophy and changing what you're doing, right? And number three is that the Cleveland Browns are as bad as they are and as horrible as they are and as disappointing as they are. And I and others still stick with them. You can stick with anything in life. And you can overcome anything in life. Thank you, Cleveland Browns.
Oh, is that great? I do remember the post. What year was it? 20, when they had it, when they were perfect, 0-16? And
yeah, hey, thanks for calling that a perfect season. We appreciate that.
And exactly, right. You say, you know, not many teams get a really, truly perfect season. What was it, the Giants 1 year, whatever. How hard is it? I don't know, Patriots. How often does a team, does a season, can a team go perfect the whole year?
Exactly, exactly. It's a downtrodden group, but they're tough. It makes them tough. We end up raising a tough group of determined people.
What a show. What a show. Advancing your cause. Well, I accept the Cleveland Browns, or
I mean, I hate to end on a bad note with the audience. I hate to let everybody down. By the way, people are listening to this thing and they're like, mind your business, Cleveland Browns. Oh, that makes sense. I don't want any part of this.
What a great show. Well, that's why this is going to go up on the podcasting, on the channel, again, on Spotify, and however you consume your media, and, of course, on YouTube. This is going to be one great episode. This wraps up a great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on The Voice of New York, 710 WOR. Have a successful week.
710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.